Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Our nation is becoming saturated with pornography, and we are slowly becoming desensitized by its presence. We have almost forgotten that there are existing laws in the books to deal with some of this trash. Pornographers have grown accustomed to setting up shop wherever they want, sending through the mail whatever they want, and uploading to their websites whatever they want. Can this be stopped? Are there practical things the ordinary citizen can do? It has been 15 years since there's been a concerted effort to rein in the flow of illegal pornography in this country. Too many people just believe that child pornography is illegal, but that is not what the law says. Attorney General Eric Holter is largely following in the steps of his predecessors and ignoring the law. Did you know every second, $3,075 is being spent on porn? Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing porn. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the U.S. 4.2 million websites, that's 12% of total websites, contain pornography. That's about 420 million pages. 25% of the total search engine requests daily are pornographic. 35% of all downloads are pornography. That's 1.5 billion monthly. And 11 years old is the average age of first internet exposure to pornography. So, and pornography is more than just the internet. We can see that in the local convenience stores with Playboy and the sexually oriented businesses and some of the magazines that are available. So, you know, we have to ask what is being done about this scourge on our society. And my guest today is Pat Truman, and he will give us some information on that and on what we can do. Pat's an attorney and is currently the CEO of Morality and Media. And you were formerly with the Department of Justice, right, Pat?
That's right, Diane. I was chief of the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section in the Criminal Division. That's the office charged with prosecuting obscene, that is, hardcore pornography, adult pornography, and child pornography.
Now, can you tell us the difference? Because we have contacted the local, one of the local convenience stores here, because they sell Playboy and, you know, Playgirl and Hustler. And we've contacted them about their sale of that material and expressed concern. Now, that is legal pornography, correct? The Playboy and...
I would doubt it. But here's what's happened, Diane. Through lack of prosecution, what is illegal becomes available and ever more available. Then the law enforcement, having overlooked prosecution mm-hmm. for that material, they essentially proclaim it as legal material. Now, Hustler made its mark in the porn industry by introducing hardcore pornography in magazines and popular-looking magazines to try to differentiate itself from Playboy. Now, let's look at the difference between what is hardcore and softcore, because there's a legal difference. Those are not legal terms, but we need to look at it in those terms. Softcore pornography is really waist-up pornography. So a topless woman, that's softcore pornography, and that cannot be prosecuted. Because what the United States Supreme Court has said is that, in effect, only hardcore pornography can be made illegal by the U.S. Congress or by the states. And hardcore pornography is showing either actual sex acts or simulated sex acts. It don't even have to be real. But it could be any variety of sex acts, or it could be lascivious exhibition of the genitals or pubic area. That's the exact language. So when you differentiate hardcore from softcore, softcore is just waist up, but hardcore is full body pornography, where the focus or the genitals are really visible, or the pubic area is visible, mm-hmm. and of course with sex acts as well. Now the Supreme Court calls that material obscene. You can say that hardcore pornography is a synonymous term to obscene pornography, and only obscene pornography can be made illegal. So those magazines, you know, Playgirl was introduced to show male nudity, full genital nudity. That was always considered hardcore prosecutable material. And Hustler, when it came out, you know, it cut out a market for hardcore pornography in a magazine. And
so you're saying, I didn't mean to interrupt, but so you're saying some of these magazines may in fact be illegal.
They are illegal, but the law enforcement doesn't prosecute them, so then they're really giving a green light to the pornographers.
Absolutely.
When Hustler came out and Playgirl, they were regularly prosecuted. Larry Flint has been convicted of obscenity a few times in Ohio, which is where his headquarters was. Now, we see the same thing going on the federal level now with what everybody would agree is hardcore pornography. The hardcore videos, the hardcore websites that you have all over the internet, and the hardcore pornography that's on your cable and satellite, that's the pay-per-view material, that is illegal material. But the Attorney General of the United States has effectively said, we're with the pornographers, and we're not going to prosecute pornography. Well, then it's effectively legalized, and the pornographers know that, and so they're just going to make money on it. And what happens, Diane, is that mainstream businesses like your hotel chains and Comcast and Verizon Cable, they all then say, well, if they're not going to prosecute it, we'll make money on it.
Because basically, and without prosecution, they're making it legal without actually there being a change in the law.
There's a mindset
that it's now legal.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got these laws passed by Congress. The laws that prohibit cable and satellite hardcore pornography and computer pornography, those were all passed by overwhelming margins in the United States Congress. And, you know, you could pass a pornography law today by overwhelming margins because Congress doesn't want to say, oh, I'm with the pornographers. But now that we got those laws, the federal laws depend on one man to enforce them. That's the Attorney General of the United States.
You know, I said in the intro that it's been about 15 years since there has been any real effort. But when was the last actual federal prosecution of an obscenity case?
Well, there was one this past summer in Washington, D.C., and the tragedy of it is this was a case that was started in the Bush administration, but when Obama got into office, they didn't want to prosecute it out in, I believe it was Kansas or Missouri, wherever the case originated from. They didn't want to spend the resources to send their prosecutors out there to prosecute it. So they brought it to Washington, D.C., a you know, highly liberal area, and the FBI agent didn't want to do the work on the case. And so he never searched the property of the pornographer to get evidence. So they just had thin evidence, and the judge threw out the case when he saw what it was. So the case was lost. Now, I used to be in charge of these prosecutions. We would never have gone to trial under circumstances like that.
Yeah, without the proper evidence.
Right.
Now, of course, with that happening on the federal level, with lack of prosecution, that's, as you've said, that's spread across the country to where it's, obscenity is not a big deal when it comes to any kind of prosecution.
That's right.
And additionally, doesn't each and every case, say there's a Playgirl magazine or Hustler magazine, doesn't each and every magazine have to be tested, so to speak, or brought to trial? It's not just a blanket, all Playgirls are illegal.
That's right. Nothing, you know, people always say, well, why doesn't the federal government just take off all those websites that have hardcore pornography? You can't do that. You have to prosecute each one individually. Mm-hmm. It's an anomaly in our law that, you know, anything that's related to the First Amendment, courts bend over backwards to say that those who are pornographers get the upper hand in courts. So they're free to put it out there, and their material is, as the Supreme Court said, presumptively protected material until there's a trial and they're determined to be violating federal obscenity laws
or child
pornography.
Yeah, and I guess that's the proper way because they're innocent until proven guilty.
Well,
so I guess
they are, but you know, when you see a person breaking into a bank, a law enforcement officer is allowed to arrest them
that's
and
true.
Put them in jail. When you see someone that's putting vile hardcore pornography on the internet, you have to say, you know, you're protected. And we're just going to take you to court and find out whether or not you're not protected.
You can continue.
So, you know, they do bend over backwards. And, you know, there's some merit to that in terms of some kind of speech. But I've always felt that hardcore pornography is not normal speech, and it shouldn't be treated as normal First Amendment material.
Well, that's true, because I think the average person can look at some of this material and know it's obscene.
Yes, and you know, there's the pornographers and the so-called First Amendment types. they laugh about a statement made by Supreme Court Justice Stewart, who said, it's hard to define pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
And they laugh about that. Well, that's not a laughing matter. It's very obvious what pornography is, and those who claim they can't define it are just foolish.
Just foolish, absolutely. You and I both have talked about the internet and how there's so much pornography out there, but that problem has been solved, I understand, because they just created the XXX domain. So that's going to solve the problem, right?
Well, right.
yeah. Explain to folks what the XXX domain is, though.
Well, there's a pornographer that has been pushing to start a special domain on the internet that would be, instead of .com, it would be .xxx. And the idea is that this person's sole idea is that they could make a lot of money by charging $60 a piece to any pornographer that wants to locate on that domain. The problem with it is that some people then say, well, that'll clean up the .com domain. The pornographers won't be there. They'll go to the XXX. Well, that's foolish. They're making millions on the .com domain. They're not going to automatically switch and go over to the XXX. And there's no law that would be upheld that could force them to go. And so what you're going to have is, in addition to all the pornography on the .com, you'll also have another place where your kids can go and get all the pornography that they want, or all the adult addicts to pornography can go there. But it has an additional disadvantage. Individuals will have to buy a space on the .com, on the .xxx domain if they want to protect their name. If your name is Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to protect your name by buying BritneySears.XXX. Otherwise, someone's going to buy that, and it'll be profitable because a lot of people will go there. The same way with a lot of other actresses or companies that right now have protected their name on the .com domain.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will have to buy a XXX. But it solves no problem. It's just a way to have more pornography on the internet, as if we need more.
And for them, and you said their main goal was to make money anyway, the pornographer
that's
who introduced
right. that's
this,
the only
this concept.
Goal.
As you're saying, just another avenue for more pornography to get out there, because there's nothing requiring the existing porn sites to switch over to the XXX domain.
Right.
They can still...
And there never will be. I think that I've been arguing this for 8 years since this was first proposed, that our Constitution, based on the cases the Supreme Court has come out with, we can't just tell a pornographer, whether it's a shop on Main Street or a location on the internet, to just get up and move. But the XXX domain is likely to be a reality within the month.
Within the month? Oh,
yes.
Wow. Not good. And as we look at this pornography, we know that it definitely has a negative impact on our society, and it's becoming more, the connection is becoming more prevalent, or more exposed, I guess would be the right term, between pornography and human trafficking. Could you give us a little bit of information on that connection there?
Yes. It's unpleasant to talk about, but you see trafficking mixed up with pornography in a variety of ways. Of course, the easy, common sense thing that people can understand is the fact that the more men consume pornography, the more likely they are to use prostitutes, because they have a total breakdown of inhibitions with pornography. They won't get the kind of sexual contact, performance, etc., from their wives, and so they go and they'll rent a prostitute. And so the heavy use of pornography leads to more prostitution. And prostitution in America today is so heavily involved with sexually trafficked victims. In fact, there's a 250,000, the estimates are, of sexually trafficked American girls under the age of 18 in the United States.
A quarter of a million.
And that doesn't count the foreign nationals that are here. So that's one way. But, you know, right now on the internet, Diane, a person can go to any number of sites where they offer acts of prostitution online. You can look at the pictures of the girls that you want to commit a sex act, and you can pick out that girl and pay for that girl. Then that girl will show up on your screen live, and you can direct that girl to perform various sex acts. That's
mm-hmm.
prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those individuals are in third world countries or former Soviet satellite countries and in Russia itself, and there are trafficked victims. So a person can direct them in an act of prostitution. All of that is recorded. Then it's separately sold on the same site. So the individual is paying the woman to perform, you know, sex acts, mm-hmm. and the pornography is made as a result of that and sold to others.
And sold, so there's profit all the way around for the...
And it's sex trafficking. Then you also have sex trafficking in the porn industry. And in the porn industry, you have women who agree, they may even sign a contract to do films. They don't know what they're signing up for, and when they start the filming, terrible things happen, mm-hmm. and they ask that it be stopped, and the filmers will not stop, and they're made to do other things that are beyond their contract, mm-hmm. etc. Federal law defines being forced to perform acts against your will as sex trafficking. I won't get into the whole thing, but mm-hmm. that's sex trafficking in the porn industry. And I think you were at one of our conferences, weren't you, when we had the one on the Capitol Hill last year?
No, I wasn't able to make that one.
Okay. That one we had Dr. Laura Letter, who's a worldwide expert on sexual trafficking, talk about how this is sex trafficking.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but do you have that on YouTube, up on YouTube, some of that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's on our YouTube channel at Pornography Harms.
Yeah, and let's get into the war on pornography. There's no question that there's tons of porn out there, and I know people are wondering what they can do and whether there's anyone who cares about this issue, and whether anyone has taken the steps, you know, if there's anyone out there who are taking the steps to address pornography and its impact on our nation. And as we look at the TV program, you know, some of the stuff you're saying is that, what you're saying is some of the stuff's illegal.
Oh, yes.
And so can we do?
Well, we almost have to start at the beginning. You know, at one time in this country, we had the laws fully enforced. I was privileged to head the Justice Department effort at that time. And we just had case after case and state after state. And these pornographers were going out of business and going to jail. But now, through the years, starting with Bill Clinton and then with George Bush, mm-hmm. and now with where you had lax enforcement, and now with the Obama administration where you have no enforcement, we're starting at the ground floor. But the laws are still in place. We have right now, Diane, as you know, an effort to get members of Congress to be aware that the laws that they passed are not being enforced by the Justice Department, and we want to make them aware of the harm that pornography is causing as a result. So we have some leaders in Congress circulating a letter to members of Congress, both House and Senate. The letter's addressed to the Attorney General of the United States, saying, look, there's all this harm from pornography, and you're not enforcing the law. We want you to start. The more people we get on that letter, the better. And people can look for that letter and what to do by going to pornharms.com and click on a button there, and you can get to both your United States Senator and your U.S. House of Representatives member and send them a short email, which we've already got prepared for you, to tell them that you care enough about this, you want them to sign.
Right, and this week the senators and congressmen are in their home districts.
That's
so
right.
I know I contacted our congressman on Friday to try to set up an appointment for this week, but he's booked for like the next month, I think they said. So what I did instead is I've created, and it's up on our website too, afapa.org, I've created a one-pager with statistics on the harms of pornography. And at the top of it, I've got, you know, his name, and please sign on to the letter being circulated, in this case, by Congressman Randy Forbes. I faxed that to him yesterday, to his district office. You know, I encouraged him to do it because I was not going to be able to get in to meet him this week. And in that letter, for folks who are interested, that is up on our website. Our congressmen need to know this is an important issue for us, that we're concerned about it, and that there is an effort. And you have done a great job in this effort in getting the educational material out there through your YouTube channel and on the website. It's just amazing because people need to be re-educated that, yes, I mean, I think they all agree there's harm to this stuff, but they need to be re-educated that there are, as you're saying, still laws on the books to rein this material in and to rein these pornographers in.
Yes, and you know, Diane, what I have learned in this last year, working with a coalition of 60 groups, including your own, which we're calling the War on Illegal Pornography, I go back and forth to the U.S. Capitol to meet with offices, And we're getting a much more favorable reception, even among Democrats now, than we were 3, 4, 5 years ago. And what I've discovered is that it's the harm. More and more people, virtually every family in one way or another, has been harmed by pornography. So we've got some key Democrat allies and many Republicans, because they all understand that pornography run wild in America has not been beneficial, and it's causing widespread harm. Now, if people are listening to this, you know, think about your own family. If you have kids in high school, they're looking at pornography. I don't mean to insult people, but they're getting it. They may not be devoted to it like some kids are, but it's available on phone, on internet, you know, etc. So many young children from age 8, 9, 10 are getting pornography. Adults are getting addicted. So the harm is very great. Now we have a chance to do something about it, because we've got 60 national and state and local groups around the country that have joined together in this war on illegal pornography, pressing Congress to say, we want our laws enforced. Tell that to the Attorney General. And they can easily become part of this campaign by, as I said, going to pornharms.com, and they'll see the urgent alert right there.
Right, and they can click on that right there and immediately connect with their state senator, or rather, U.S. senator and congressman.
Yes.
Through pornharms.com. And is there a link there to your YouTube page also? YouTube channel?
Okay. Pornharms.com.
Okay. And lots of studies, lots of research, and it's just amazing the material that's available and the statistics that are available out there. Been able to get the intellectual community together and do some brain studies. Just really neat what has been able to take place with the war on illegal pornography.
Yes.
So we would encourage folks to go to pornharms.com to begin with and check out that website, check out the research, and know that here in Pennsylvania, that if your local community does not have a local licensing or zoning ordinance dealing specifically with sexually oriented businesses, that you need to approach your local elected officials to get that passed, to protect your local community against sexually oriented businesses. There's one place in Dauphin County that I drive through on the way to Harrisburg. I drive through that way every time, and it's just tragic. I see the proliferation of sexually oriented businesses on the main drag through there. Obviously, their local elected officials are ignoring the problem, and I know we've contacted them, and they've ignored the steps that they can legally take to rein in these businesses, but That's another aspect.
And so many men are trapped into that. And when they get involved with pornography, then they want real sex act. They can go to these strip clubs. And as you know, Diane, all these strip clubs have prostitution and various sexual acts. This kind of thing is devastating, and it tears down America.
Absolutely. Again, tell folks what they need to do.
Well, if I were listening, I'd want to do something about my family and about the state of America. And people can go to pornharms.com, look at the urgent alert right there, contact your member of the House and Senate, U.S. House and Senate. It's just very easy. Or you can call them if you don't want to send an email. And as Diane pointed out, call them in their local area. I mean, neither of your U.S. senators from Pennsylvania have signed onto this yet. It's not that they're opposed to it, I'm sure. They haven't had enough calls. And if you want to get a senator or House member to do something, you have to get busy and call them. Call them several times. I always tell people to contact them 2, 3, and 4 times. If everybody would do that, they'd do something about
pornography. They'd get the message. Absolutely. And if they have questions, can they contact you through the website?
Yes, they can. Just
okay.
Right at pornarms.com. Or at our, I'm the CEO of Morality and Media. We have all this information at that website as well, moralityandmedia.org.
Okay, so moralityandmedia.org or pornharms.com.
Yeah.
And I do encourage folks to check those out, because we need to do something about this pornography, because it's destroying our country. So thanks, Pat. I really appreciate all your effort here with this war on illegal pornography and the great strides that we as a coalition are making.
Thank you very much, Diane.
Okay, take care, Pat.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.